This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, and the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo Podcast for more intense sexual themes. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Broken Home by Ian Snow. Chapter 01. I knew the call would come eventually, but Hannah's tears and inability to speak still stunned me into my own silence. I thought of 1,000 days with my best friend Brandon, of his gleeful smile when he would win at video and board games, of the way he loved to reach out and swat my horn anytime we drove by a hot woman on the street when I first got my driver's license, of fireworks and way too many goddamn hot dogs on the 4th of July, his favorite holiday. And him waiting with eager anticipation as I unwrapped his presents to me on my least favorite, Christmas. And I thought too of the last couple years. Of hospital visits and his mumbled speech and the way he still tried to tell me dumb jokes even when his brain slipped further and further away from us every day. I was just there 2 days ago, and already I was clawing at myself for not going there the day before or that morning, before my shift at the gas station. I thought about the unfairness of my best friend, my brother in everything but blood, dying at 20. And I could say nothing except, "I'm on the way," I meant to finish, but even those two words were lost to a wall of pain that slammed itself in place. Two customers waited in line. I stared at them blankly, and the man in front waggled his bag of chips in front of my face. I didn't think. I just reacted, slapping the bag out of his hand and sending it flying. He shouted more in surprise and maybe a little fear. I was a tall, intimidating motherfucker, even if I leaned towards Gaunt and my coworker Michelle gasped, "Nick!" But I didn't care. I knew I'd be fired for that, and I shut down emotionally. I took off my employee vest and walked out of there, never to come back again. The Cavalier's bald tires could barely handle the ice and snow, but it wasn't them I was worried about. It was the low Cat 6 sound the sedan made every time I had to hit the gas. It could no longer do more than 40, which was usually okay because I pretty much went to work, the hospital, and home, and that was it. No gym membership, no bars, no clubs, and definitely no road trips. I hated to stop the damn car because I had a feeling I was always minutes or hours away from it breaking down entirely. And when that happened, it would mean walking 13 blocks through bad even-ow streets to get to a bus every day. They didn't come to my neighborhood. Too much violence, too few people who mattered to the city. I couldn't do another car for a few years. Not until I paid off my lone semester in college and 1,000 or so in credit card debt. On top of that, I owed my roommates 100 bucks in back utilities too. Quitting my job would probably mean Jimmy, the de facto head of the house and a self-righteous prick, would probably throw me out. At the moment, I had a hard time caring. Hannah and her mom Deanna lived on the far end of the city, and would be heading back there to begin the work of saying goodbye to Brandon. I drove as fast as I dared, but it still took me the better part of a frustrating 45 minutes before I pulled up in front of their house, the car wheezing and shuddering to a stop. Before I even got out, there was Deanna Labini. In better days, I would have sucked in my gut at the sight of her or Hannah. The two of them were among my earliest crushes. Even with the pain of the last couple years, of the constant highs of Brandon's early victories with his surgeries and the later grimmer and grimmer news, I still held a lot of feelings for them. That was always going to be there, I supposed, even if now it came with a strange survivor's guilt, as though Brandon's sickness and death meant I shouldn't be human, because it was human to want to stare. Even in her worst days, Deanna Labini was a stunning woman. Before Brandon's illness, she carried some comfortable mom weight, complaining often about her belly bump, I think just to get a compliment out of me or whoever was listening, which it invariably did. Now she looked thin to me, though I was probably too close to her to really tell. Regardless, she had a model's face, strong-jawed, with high cheekbones and brown eyes that made me always wonder what she was thinking, feeling, wanting. But that day, I felt nothing but sorrow as I stepped out of the car and slammed the creaking door shut. She took a few steps towards me on legs so shaky I thought she was going to collapse. I hurried to her despite the ice and my shoddy sneakers, and grabbed her up in a hug. She was crying. But hell, I'd been crying since I left work. "I'm sorry," I whispered. "I'm so sorry." I just kept repeating that dumbly over and over. Deanna didn't try to silence me or say anything. Instead, she tightened her grip on me and hung on for what little life could be found that day. I don't remember going inside, but there was a man with us, Brandon's Uncle Timothy, and he gently nudged me so he could shut the door behind us. Only then did Deanna break away. "Hannah?" I asked, taking a few minutes to herself. Timothy said. "Go up. She'll want to see you," Deanna said. "Are you sure?" She nodded with enough force that I believed her. Whereas Deanna's soul was as still as a pond on a windless day, Hannah was far more complex a creature, or at least she used to be. She was 2 years older than Brandon and me, and she loved to give me shit about my obvious crush on her when she wasn't calling us names or throwing fits about us doing anything at all. A typical teenager then, but I bore it all because, well, she was fucking crazy hot. Like her mom, Hannah had a face made for Instagram and maybe some adult-themed sites, a little narrower and less sharply etched. Just as beautiful, but softer. Hannah was slimmer than her mom, but there were still plenty of curves to drool over. One thing I loved about her was her hair. She kept it long and wavy. It looked like if you reached out, took a handful, and bit into it, you'd taste honey. I dreamed about that hair spread out on a bed or tugging on it as I took her from behind. I headed upstairs to Hannah's room. It used to be Brandon's in high school, but once his motor function started to go, they had to move him downstairs. I should have still thought of the room as his, considering how many nights we spent in there laughing and watching movies or playing games or just bullshitting, but it hadn't held that magic for me in a long while. It was now firmly Hannah's space in my head. I knocked and got no response. Hannah? I asked. I heard a muffled sniff, not from her room, but further down the hallway, from her mom's room. I headed down that way and called her name again. I'm in here, she said weakly. Is it okay to come in?
Sure.
I stepped inside, feeling a dash of funny guilt. I guess that was natural. Deanna's room had always been off limits. I'd only ever been in there a few times, once to sneak a peek at her bras and panties. But getting so flustered about maybe being caught that I fled before I even opened up her closet or her drawers. It was a beautiful room, one of the highlights of the house. The creamy walls were tinged with just a touch of green. Not quite pastel, but aiming in that direction. The bed was a low-slung four-post bed, big enough for an army. There were three good-sized windows, but the shades were drawn and no lights were on. Hannah was curled up in the bed, a digital picture frame in hand and hooked up to a laptop. But both were dark, and I had a feeling I'd caught Hannah either napping or on the verge of sleep. She smiled weakly at me, and I walked slowly to her.
Feels like your mom should be getting angry at me, for being, oh fuck, Hannah, I'm sorry.
She sobbed and pushed herself upright. I swooped in on her, hugging her tight to my chest. We held each other a long time like that, much like her mother downstairs.
He loved you so much.
She whispered when we finally pulled apart, at least a few inches.
Thank you for being a brother to him. I wish I'd been by more often the last few weeks.
I said, more to the friend I hoped was there with us than her.
You can't do that, Hannah said. I know you were there as much as you could be.
I wasn't though, and Hannah knew that. In the last months, Brandon was unable to communicate in any coherent way. He would ramble nonsense words, and towards the end, a mishmash of baby-like syllables. That wasn't the worst though. The worst was his silence. When all that was left of him was a body, I kind of broke. I wanted to be there in the end for Hannah and Deanna, but I couldn't take it. I knew Brandon would forgive me, but I wasn't about to forgive myself.
What are you doing?
I asked tonelessly, and sat on the bed next to her.
Oh. Mom's going to finalize the F.
Her words caught, and I took her hand in mine. It was not a gesture either one of us was accustomed to, but she didn't take her hand back, either.
The funeral. I figured I'd get a jump on the coffee hour. We're going to need pictures. I could have used the computer downstairs, but Mom has the best ones on here, and I wanted to be alone. Do you want me to go?
No.
What I want more than anything is a nap. I'm so tired. And I know Mom is too, but I can't. I can't be down there with them all looking at us like this.
I know I should be there for her, but I'll be here.
I'll help her where I can.
Thank you, Nick. Again, I did something reflexive, something I think in retrospect might have set a lot of ripples in motion. I brought her hand to my lips and kissed her skin for a long moment. She let out a long sigh and leaned her head against my shoulder.
Beavis and Butthead, Hannah said, and I tried to smile for her. It was her oldest nickname for Brandon and me, and not just because Brandon had brown hair and I had sandy blonde.
We found his mom's old DVD set of the 90s show, and we must have watched them a dozen times over one summer. We loved it. Eventually she settled back into bed. I pulled one of her mom's throws over her and watched for a while as she browsed pictures. Eventually I realized the only reason she wasn't sleeping was because I was in the room, so I got up and left her there, shutting the door behind me again. More family and friends arrived while I was upstairs with Hannah, and came in ebbs and flows throughout the day. I knew a lot of the people there from Vineport, as I was almost more of a fixture in Deanna's house than my own. She got me aside to ask me about Hannah, and I explained she was taking a nap and doing the best she could, under the circumstances. Deanna accepted another hug from me, and I hated myself for noticing how good she smelled that day, her lotion like sherbet. I hung around, helping where I could. The family ran out of parking room quickly in front of the house, so I went to the neighbors and explained the situation. They all knew Brandon was sick, and told me yes, of course they were fine with people parking in front of their houses, given the circumstances. I shoveled their walks and driveways for the trouble and for something to do. One 50-something neighbor that Brandon used to crush on hard tried to pay me, but I shut her down gently. Food was brought in by the boxful, so much of it that a lot of it needed to be separated out and frozen. I ran to the store with a cousin of Brandon's to pick up freezer bags, food storage containers, coffee, tea, and pop. It was more than I could afford, but I put a few things into my own cart, paper plates, napkins, that sort of thing. It would mean using my credit card, which I swore to myself I wouldn't do until it was paid off, but I needed to do something for Deanna and Hannah. Back at the Labini place, Deanna, Timothy, and the rest were talking to a funeral home director on speakerphone at the kitchen table. I deposited my items and helped the cousin put away all the drinks in a cooler and in the fridge.
Another cousin, this time one of Deanna's, pushed me towards the food.
Eat, honey. You look so skinny these days.
That's what happened when your one good meal a day is whatever meat is discount priced at the grocery store, I thought but didn't say. As far as I knew, either Deanna or Hannah was aware of how bad things had become for me since high school and I never intended to tell them. I didn't want pity. I just wanted to survive. I took some casserole and vegetables and an iced tea. By that point Hannah was back among us, taking a lot of hugs. When I crashed out in the living room, she joined me with a bottled water and a bag of potato chips. At that point I realized I'd been shoveling down the food and there was almost nothing left on my plate. I forced myself to slow down and finally finished.
Is your dad coming, Han?
A family friend asked Hannah, and she tensed. Gordon Sellers. One of the dumbest motherfuckers to walk this planet. He cheated on one of the most beautiful women in the world, inside and out, and when Deanna confronted him about it, he told her things that shocked me as a kid, and that was coming from my own house, where my father and mother kept up a Cold War just a few shades short of thermonuclear. Deanna might have a huge heart, but to hear Brandon tell it, she went off on him like she'd never done before or since. At the end of it, she told him to get out and that she wanted a divorce. He sneered at her and told her she didn't have it in her to be alone. She did, and told the kids to pack up. I didn't see Brandon, his mom, or his sister for 2 weeks. They went to stay with his grandparents in Florida. We talked every day, though, or messaged each other. Instead of being sad or angry, he and Hannah seemed happy. I didn't realize until then how bad things had been in private for them and their family. But now the dam was broken and Brandon told me a lot of stories about how his dad would get pissed drunk and scream at them, or how when Deanna told him to be more cautious driving, he would slam the accelerator to the floor and act like a maniac. I guess I knew with me his cheerfulness had always been artificial, but I didn't connect the dots that he hated his own family like that. They divorced. Despite Gordon's best attempts to paint his wife as the devil, she got the house and the kids, and Gordon was slapped with a sizable alimony payment. Deanna didn't want or need it for long. She landed a great promotion from a receptionist to a junior executive at the regional headquarters for a chain of gift stores. That wasn't the end of Gordon. Oh no. He was that special kind of asshole who couldn't just walk out of their lives. Now living in Philly, when he stopped having to pay alimony, he tried to worm his way back into his kids' lives. Hannah thought he might be able to change and went to live with him for a while, but things went bad again. That Christmas, Deanna and Brandon made an emergency run to Philly to pick up Hannah when she found their father doing cocaine at a Christmas party he was throwing. Gordon tried to deny the whole thing, and every so often since, tried to reinsert himself into his children's lives. But to my knowledge, he only came by once to visit Brandon in the hospital in the earliest days, when Brandon was still lucid enough to hear and understand his father's promise to come every time he had a chance. To experience Gordon twisting the knife one last time. So in short, I hated the fucking asshole for the lot of them.
He'll be here,
Hannah said bluntly. The family friend withdrew, sensing they hit a nerve, and I gave Hannah a one-armed hug. She snickered softly and shook her head.
All of them like Dad, she said. They never saw how awful he is. But he deserves to say goodbye too, I guess.
I didn't know about that but grunted something vaguely affirmative. She eventually got up to grab her laptop and work some more on the coffee hour planning, this time with my input on songs that Brandon loved and that were appropriate for the venue. It was a lot of Killers, a lot of Green Day, a lot of the Knox. The last one got to me, because it was the last band that Brandon really got into. While I tried to stem my latest flow of tears, Hannah gave me a while, setting up another playlist, one just for us that we wouldn't play at the coffee hour. This one was filled with Brandon's other favorites, his love of 80s and 90s hip-hop and rap, Rob Zombie, and his bizarre taste in foreign death metal. We were laughing about that one when Deanna broke free of the other proceedings, watching the two of us with a faint smile on her face before she was pulled into more funeral details. But whatever gas Hannah had in her tank emptied fast, and the thin veneer of civility she kept up with her extended family began to fade. Before she got too caustic, she decided another nap was in order, and I followed her up a few minutes later to tape a sign on her door that said simply, "Please let her sleep." The Labini extended family began to clear out about then, giving Deanna the house back, at least for a little while. There would be more waves of family and friends in the days to come. Brandon was well-loved, though I wondered where all these people had been when he was in the hospital, when Deanna needed them the most. That thought was needlessly cruel. I didn't know a lot of them showed up at one point or another, and besides, wasn't I just as guilty of eventually abandoning Deanna and Hannah to their grief? I know why I didn't leave. I missed my brother. Neither Deanna or Hannah tried to push me towards the door, and I had a feeling I was wanted there. So I stayed, ignoring the "You're fired" call from my boss and the "You're fucking insane and if you don't pay us by the end of the week you're out on your ass" call from my roommate Jimmy, who probably heard about me quitting from mutual friends. I was cooked and I knew it, but I didn't care. Not right then. The two people I cared for most in this world now that Brandon was gone seemed to need me, and I was going to be there for them, even if it meant winding up having to ask my parents to take me in for a few months while I got my shit together. I thought about all that while the last of the friends and family left. I was back on the couch, a throw pillow behind my head. Deanna came out of the kitchen, a mug of tea in hand. She sat beside me and I hugged her. She leaned into me and shook like she was crying, but her eyes were dry. By that point I guess her tank was empty too. Again, I was all too aware of the soft, fruity scent of her lotion. I sniffed theatrically a few times and she looked up at me, curious.
"What the heck kind of lotion did you use?"
I asked.
Do you like it?
I really, really, really do, I said, and I chuckled. It was maybe the first thing approximating a genuine laugh I had in a few days, and it made her smile too. The smell, the smile, the press of her breast against me, I couldn't help it. I hardened, and there was no hiding that from her. Deanna didn't call attention to it, not until I tried to pull a blanket over myself. She stopped me with a hand on mine, then took a deep, shuddering breath as her fingers went to my cock. Deanna looked up into my eyes, a searching question on her face.
I need, she whispered. I
shouldn't have done what I did. Or maybe I should have. I don't know. It was all kinds of psychologically fucked up, but I needed to. In any case, I kissed her. I halfway expected her to slap me. Hell, maybe I hoped for it, just to feel something other than grief. But Deanna froze, not doing anything, her fingers a quarter inch from my hardness, and then her lips met mine again. Now and forever, that was pretty much it for me. Deanna twisted on the couch, one knee on the cushion, one foot on the floor. She kissed me again, her lips parting, tongue seeking mine. So many of my oldest fantasies flooded through me in that moment. It was like a thousand variations of me roared.
Yes.
All at once, and I was lost. I gripped the bottom of her shirt and tugged it up and over her breasts. She wore an old blue bra underneath, nothing fancy, but I never in my life wanted a woman as much as I wanted Deanna in that moment. She took the shirt from me and pulled it off the rest of the way, making her hair spill down her chest and across her upper back. She mounted me and tossed her head back as my hands went behind her back, searching for the clasp to her bra. She helped me and the bra was free, bearing to me the breasts I wanted to see and touch and suck for years and years. Deanna cradled my head to one of them, rocking on my cock, grinding against me. I sucked her nipple and she gasped, rocking harder.
This is wrong.
She whimpered, and I started to pull back, but she tugged me right back to her nipple.
Oh fuck, oh Nick.
My best friend's mom, and she was moaning for me, desperate for it. For long minutes, I rocked my hips up into hers, and she ground down harder on me, thrusting her chest against my desperately hungry mouth. I grabbed her tight ass and squeezed, wanting those jeans off her and right the hell now. But she was too far gone, nearly on the edge of her first orgasm, and kept me right where I was, grinding hard on me, hips rising and falling as her breath quickened. I'd never seen a woman come this fast, but that was exactly what she was doing. She clutched the back of my head in my neck, her fingernails digging in, and she cried out.
Oh, oh, fuck.
She came with a hard shimmy of her ass, and I sucked her tit even harder as she shivered against me. Without a word, she finally let go of her hold on my head and pulled away, staring down at me, her chest rising and falling.
I need you too,
I said, my voice more of a growl. She stood up and jerked at the button to her jeans. I did the same to mine, lifting up off the couch and shoving them down along with my boxers far enough for what we craved. She dropped a pair of bikini briefs matching her bra and mounted me again, shoving me back against the leather and grinding on my cock. She was so slick against me, so warm, and when Deanna finally gripped my cock and held me up so she could drop onto me, it was fucking nirvana. Her pussy twitched all around me as I gripped her ass and thrust back up at her, meeting her grinding measure for measure. Every inch of me slid into her warm, wet depths easily, and we held nothing back, thrusting, bouncing, grinding as hard we wanted. She kissed me again and brought my hands to her tits as she slammed up and down on me, chanting my name under her breath.
Nick, oh my Nick, Nick, I fuck your good, oh Nick, Deanna.
I moaned, squeezing her tits and leaning up to kiss her again. She kissed me back, head twisting as she dropped harder and harder on my cock. The scent of her sex filled the air and I was mad for it as she crusted again, lips parting against mine, her eyelids fluttering. I grabbed her waist as she was still coming and stood with her. She gasped, but even as I was spinning her around, she was trying to kiss me again. I dropped with her onto the couch, and her legs wrapped around mine as I hammered into her soaking wet pussy. Her bare pussy. With my bare cock.
See condom,
I said weakly, only thinking of it when I was on the brink.
I should pull out. No, 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 please, please, in me, I need to feel it, I need something good today.
All she had to do was tell me to stay. I did, cradling her in my arms as we rocked together. She slid a hand between us and played with her clit, her stuttered moans making me all the wilder. Her orgasms came twice, her hips jerking, her eyes nearly closing each time. I liked the way her mouth went wide open and the way her eyes would flutter back to life. I nuzzled her neck, her jaw, her lips again, and I whispered her name in the last.
Deanna, come on me, baby, come in me, please.
I did. My hips jerked a few times more and then I was coming, stiffening and stilling as I spilled inside her. I came and came into her unprotected pussy, and all I could think about was how beautiful she was in that moment, despite the sorrow. Strangely enough, I did not feel guilty, or at least, not much. If anyone would have understood, it would have been Brandon. Oh sure, me fucking his mom would have been pretty weird and probably led to one of the few fights of our friendship. But he would have understood this, the need between us. I was a cynic, he was a romantic. And I don't think Deanna felt all that guilty either. She held me afterwards, kissing my neck, my shoulder. The only thing she asked me was,
when did you get so skinny?
I chuckled softly and finally extricated myself from her. She sat up too, and without a word, sat on my lap, kissing me, stroking the hair away from my eyes. Warmth and love poured from her, but the words we both needed to say and hear spilled from her lips.
Nick, I don't want to give you the wrong idea.
A terrible sadness filled me again, not the same as had pervaded me all day, but a feeling of loneliness. I kissed her chin,
and dropped my head lower, nuzzling her breasts.
I know. It would be crazy, us being in a relationship.
Yeah. A note of disappointment in her voice made me pull away and look up at her. She shrugged, smiling a bit uncomfortably.
It was good sex.
Amazing. I'm not saying we can't do it again,
good.
But this week?
I don't know.
It's all going to be very confusing for me. I hope you understand that. I'm pretty confused about it too, I said. But I'll tell you this. I love you.
She drew in a sharp breath at that, and I shook my head.
I mean, I've always loved you. In a lot of ways. And loving you means I'm here for you. Whatever you need.
If that's this.
I thrust up at her, making her smile again.
Fine.
If it's something else, distance, whatever, you tell me. I am here for you and Hannah. You have to know that.
I do.
She said softly, and leaned down to kiss me again. She drew a deep breath and let it out softly against my lips. About her, if she needs you like I needed you tonight, you be hers.
Okay?
That shocked me, and I pulled back to stare at her. I don't know that she feels that way.
Yes.
She does, and she has since the beginning of Brandon's. She swallowed, and I nodded. I know her as well as I know myself. She cares a lot about you, and this would hurt her.
Very badly.
So please, if she needs you, be with her, and let's never tell her about this.
Okay.
I said, completely floored. Hannah had a crush on me? I left shortly thereafter, heading back to my place to sleep. Jimmy came out to berate me, his voice getting louder and louder as I poured a glass of water, drained it, and poured another. I didn't say anything to him, and he shoved me on my way to my bedroom.
You fucking walked out on your job, and now you're not going to say anything?
He shouted. My best friend died today. I said. His eyes were ugly and animalistic. You might think what he said next would have only been uttered by movie villains trying their damnedest to do a cheesy impression of a Shakespearean villain, but I am here to tell you that James Carly actually said these words.
And you think that makes a difference? That you're special? That you can just quit your job and give up?
Fuck off. I said, almost cheerful. I drank the rest of my water and shoved the plastic cup at him. He thought I was going to hit him and flinched backwards. I laughed and walked away.
I want you out by the end of the week, he said.
Sure, Jimmy. My other two roommates watched all this silently up until that point. One of them said quietly.
Sorry about your friend, Nick.
Yeah? Cool. I walked to my room, shut the door on them, and crashed on the bed, staring up at the ceiling and thinking of a couple dumb kids, playing video games until the crack of dawn, and crying until I fell asleep.
Chapter 02.
I desperately did not want to go home again. My parents and I weren't hostile with each other, but with every passing day, the weight of their judgment hung over me, especially in comparison to my two older brothers that I'd started with college, which was a mistake from the get-go. I was never a great student in high school. I was more focused on girls, sports, and having a good time. I was a middling second-string quarterback, an okay first baseman, and in my last 2 years of high school, a pretty damn decent runner in track, though not quite good enough to land a scholarship. If I went to college, it was going to have to be on a student loan. So that's what I did. I had a vague plan of picking up a degree in physical therapy, or maybe becoming a PE teacher, which seemed all right. If I'm being honest with myself, I was probably always doomed to fail. I didn't really take classes seriously, and I like to drink a little bit much. What happened with and Lentz only sped up the whole process. In a way, I'm grateful to her for that. She probably saved me another $7,000 in debt. She was something else, a Barbie doll brought to life. Short, blonde curly hair. Glossy red lipstick. A fake tan that she somehow always rocked to perfection. A body sculpted by many surgeries. 45, and like a .45, she was a bullet to the head. I met her when I was working in student life. She came in with her husband, the vice chancellor of the school. He was showing her around the new building, and she pretended to be suitably wowed while all the while giving me a none too discreet once over. In 2 days, she came back, and in about 2 more minutes, I had her on my boss's desk, her legs spread wide as I fucked the ever-loving bejesus out of her. We slept together a few more times after that, usually at her house and once in my dorm room, which got her off for some damn reason. She was dangerous, and I knew it. I absolutely knew it. But I was hooked on her, on the taboo sex, on being someone's 18-year-old stud, but I started to hate myself for it. I didn't want to cuckold her husband. I didn't know if he was a good guy, an asshole, or something in between. All I knew was that he had lousy taste in honest women. I tried to break it off with him peacefully. Then when she showed up in fishnet stockings without any panties to my office, I had to be a little firmer. She didn't like that, and went to her husband. Turns out, he was in on the whole thing and liked the idea of his wife fucking a student. I didn't appreciate that, and in the ensuing heated argument, I punched the guy. Whatever my story was, administration didn't want to hear it. They didn't even acknowledge me. I was kicked out before the week was done. My parents were usually distant people, not exactly cold but with emotional walls always in place. That day though, my father shouted at me for an hour. My mother cried and drank herself into a stupor. I was told I was an embarrassment, a failure, and I had no idea what I was going to do with myself. They weren't wrong. I still had a few days yet before my roommate Jimmy's deadline to get out, so I called everyone I knew looking for some place to couch surf while I found a new job easy, if you didn't mind assholes berating you while you worked behind a counter handing over burgers and fries. But finding an apartment, or a place to rent? Not so easy. Jimmy was a friend of a friend, and got the word out quick I wasn't to be trusted because I couldn't pay utilities. Every door but one slammed in my face. My high school friends Steve and Kayla would be happy to take me in, they said, but they worked winter jobs at a ski resort during the winter and wouldn't be back for another month. It was something, at least, and I got a little emotional thanking them, but a month with my parents was, well, a lot. I kept trying other people. A rental by myself was out of the question. There was no way I could afford first and last month's rent along with a security deposit, but I kept a running list of places anyways in the hopes that when I had enough money I could get a small place somewhere. In the meantime, I called around and got interviews at three fast food places for the day after Brandon's funeral. I wasn't going to be any use to anyone until then, and besides, Deanna was moving on it fast. It would only be a couple days. I hung out there a lot that week. Deanna and I didn't talk about our hookup, but she got me alone the night after we slept together, and kissed me gently before pressing her head to my chest. I hugged her, and when Hannah walked in, she thought we were just being friendly and joined in, nestling her head against her mother's shoulder. The morning before the funeral, Hannah called me up as I was boxing up the last of my things. "Hey, Mom and I were wondering if you had breakfast yet."
"No, not yet," I said.
"Mom's making a ham and egg casserole. Come on by before work." I couldn't remember the last time I had a real breakfast apart from cereal. It was an unspoken rule that if you worked the midnight shift at the gas station, you could treat yourself to a couple donuts when you made them, so I guess that was the closest thing. The thought of real, hot breakfast made me practically jump for the door. When I arrived, their house was devoid of company, and I think both Deanna and Hannah seemed relieved by that. Not that they weren't appreciative of everyone's well wishes, gifts of food, and their support, but I could see the exhaustion in their eyes. That day, they weren't exactly happy, but they looked better rested, at the very least.
"Do you need it to go?"
Deanna asked.
"I really should have thought of sending Hannah to bring it to you at work."
There it was. No way to dodge that question.
"I had some trouble with my boss the other day. Going to be looking for a new job."
They both looked at me, alarmed, and I hastily added,
"It wasn't anything to do with Brandon or being here. They wanted to cut back my hours, and if I wasn't going to be working 40 a week, then I might as well work somewhere else I can get better pay and better hours."
I didn't think they bought it for a second, but in the moment, they had their own troubles going on. Deanna said,
"Do you have anything lined up?"
I talked about my job interviews as she cut us up pieces of the casserole. Both of them tried to eat healthy in general, but all bets were off that we and the casserole was almost nothing but cheesy, greasy goodness. We all tried our best to act like it was old times, and you know, in moments, it really felt like it was. Hannah giving me shit, Deanna metaphorically shaking her head, me loading the dishwasher after as thanks.it was the minutes after everything was put away that got to me, though. Our conversation faded, and none of us quite met anyone else's eyes. We shut down, and Hannah started to cry. We went to her, holding her, out of words and barely able to give her any warmth, but being with her anyways.it took some time, but her tears finally abated, at least for the moment. She excused herself to wash her face and touch up her makeup, but before she left, she looked back at me.
"You want to go for a walk or something?"
"Sure." When she was gone, Deanna pushed me down gently in a chair and leaned over to kiss me. It was more than a friendly thing, and when my hand roamed her ass, she moaned softly against my mouth.
"Be good to her,"
she whispered against my lips, then pulled away.
"It's not so icy around Gazelle Park. That would make for a nice walk. Not going to join us?"
"No.
Gordon is driving in later and I'd like to sharpen my knives before then."
The joke caught me by surprise and I laughed harder than it probably warranted. She looked pleased with herself and leaned against the counter.
"I'd like to take care of a few things. Have some time to myself, think and decompress.
And I might go by the funeral home just to—"
Her voice trailed off and I nodded.
"It's a lovely spot they have ready for him. Lots of sunshine.
That's good,"
I said. "He'll get more out there than he ever did here." Deanna too laughed harder than the joke deserved. Despite the fact that she kept trying to pull back from me emotionally, there was still some immense pull there between us and I had to fight to keep from going to her and kissing her again. A good thing too, because Hannah popped her head into the kitchen to ask me to fill some water bottles.
I did, and in another 10 minutes she emerged in form-fitting pink sweatpants and a long-sleeved faux turtleneck that did wonderful things for her breasts. She caught me staring and smirked.
Yeah, there was still some of the old Hannah there, and I grinned sheepishly back. "I'm not apologizing for staring at that. You know how you look.
The butt look okay?"
she asked innocently, and turned to show it off in profile.
"Don't know. I could use a closer look.
Oh lord." Deanna said that to my utter shock. Hannah strutted to the table, and it could only be called that, a strut, crossing her legs in front of one another in an exaggerated model's walk. She twirled around and placed a hand on her butt. I don't know what came over me, but I gave her a spank. She yelped and blushed, but turned and asked,
"Well?
They'll do,"
I said.
"They'll do?"
Deanna said.
She came over and inspected her daughter's very fine behind. "Baby, that butt is perfection.
Thanks, Mom.
Just showing off what you gave me." She gave Deanna a peck on the cheek and I followed suit without thinking about it. Hannah looked surprised at that and Deanna pleased. "I and Hannah's crossover," she said. "Mom needs that now and again."
"What?
The kiss on the cheek?"
"Yeah.
The last guy she dated was Warren and he wasn't much for PDA. She likes it. So make that a habit."
"I will."
Feeling bold, I added, You know she's right about your butt. It's God tier booty. She grinned.
Booty?
Yup. No one says that anymore. But her gaze flicked towards me, and it was definitely not my imagination that she was blushing.
Thanks.
Maybe I needed that too. We drove in comfortable silence to the park. As Deanna suggested, the meandering paths were well kept by the city parks department, and the parking areas were almost completely empty, since it was a weekday and in the middle of a Vineport cold snap. Lined in cherry trees whose blossoms would coat the ground in a few months and a copse of beeches called Dancer's Grove because that's exactly what the gnarled trunks and arms look like, it was a beautiful park. Hannah took the week off from school. She was a senior that year at the same college I was kicked out of. We talked some about her classes. She was double majoring in business and economics, with the intent of opening her own hair salon someday. Having been working as an apprentice for a hairstylist since her freshman year, she was ready to be licensed but wanted to focus first on college. Even long before that, she practiced her skills on Brandon and me, usually without her mom's or our permission. We laughed about that some, remembering a time when Brandon had to get a buzz cut after a particularly unfortunate attempt at a crew cut. She walked close to me, and for the first time in a while, I saw her genuine smile. It was a rare thing, even before Brandon's illness. She used it sparingly on purpose, because it was a weapon and a tool, capable of making guys like me fall forever for her. Hannah caught me looking.
What?
It's good to see you smile. It's always made my day. I reached around her and hugged her as we walked. She made a satisfied
hmm
sound deep in her throat and bonked her head against my shoulder. I chuckled and kissed the top of her head. It makes me feel a little guilty even if I know he would tell me to lighten up. She said.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I said. Like breakfast with you and your mom this morning. I thought it was like old times, and then I thought that it was wrong to think that.
Pretty much.
She said.
She sighed.
The truth is, I think I kinda started letting go a long time ago. When he couldn't recognize me anymore, that was the moment for me.
Yeah.
I said, my voice quiet and thin. I think that was me when he kinda fell asleep. She knew what I meant, when Brandon stopped responding to any stimulus at all, and began his last few months of life support. I'm really sorry I wasn't there the last couple weeks as much.
No, hey.
We get it.
God, you two were so close.
She pulled away. Can I admit something and you not hate me for it? I thought about her mother's breathy moans and cries of my name when we slept together the night Brandon died and fought off a grimace.
You know I never would.
I love you, Hannah.
I love you too, dork.
And don't make me cry again. She took off her beanie and brushed back her hair, using it as a means to collect her thoughts. I'm glad you're not working today or tomorrow.
Why is that?
Because I kinda want to use you.
Well, alright, but what a way to ask a guy out.
Shut up.
I'm being serious.
My dad's driving in today.
Oh.
I said.
Yeah.
With his new girlfriend.
Rachel.
And I'm so worn thin I don't want to deal with either of them. We've got a big family dinner tonight, but do you mind if we hang out this afternoon?
Yeah, of course.
I told your mom this, but anything you need.
Anything?
She asked, her voice very small and very faint. Her hand went to my arm and stopped me. I turned to her, thinking about her mom's words to me. That Hannah had a crush on me for a couple years, despite her attitude when we were teenagers. Her eyes glimmered and I thought maybe they weren't tears of sorrow, but maybe fear and anticipation. I took her hand, and brought my other to her cheek. She shivered, and I leaned down to kiss her. It was wrong.
I knew that.
I had just slept with her mom days ago. Hannah deserved the truth, but not then, not when we were both coming together after years of wanting. Her hands went to my hair, my neck clutching me tighter. Her soft body molded to mine so well. My hands roamed her back, her neck, her ass, and I moaned her name.
Hannah. Let's go to my place.
She whispered back. She did not mean her mom's where she'd been camped out the last week or so, but the house she rented. We walked back to her crossover as fast as we could, given the small patches of ice still on the ground. She kept blushing and eyeing me out of the corner of her eye. I couldn't help now and then pulling her tight to my side or touching her arm, her back, her hand. She didn't once try to stop me. I might have been too drunk on Hannah to care about the consequences when we were walking, but a melancholy guilt settled into me when we had to play nice on the drive. Several times I opened my mouth to tell her the truth, but I couldn't quite bring myself to do it. Not because of the sex, but because I didn't think Hannah needed any more pain at that moment. Or that was the shitty justification I told myself, anyway, even as I kept imagining her out of those clothes and writhing on her bed underneath me. In the end, I guess I had too much of a guilty conscience. Fuck me. Hannah shared a house with two roommates, a nice suburban place on a street full of similar houses. It might have been boring, but it was crime and excitement free. Looking at that house, at her as she slid out of her side with a soft smile on her face, I felt my guts twist.
Oh God, I thought.
I'm sorry, Hannah. She was already so fucking miserable, and I was about to make it 10 times worse.
Hannah.
Wait. She froze, her butt half out of the car, and slid back in.
What?
I. Thoughts of Deanna on top of me, kissing me, moaning, my hands on her ass.
Before we do this, I need to tell you something.
Don't. Hannah said softly.
What?
Don't. I need you too much right now for this. I think you really ought to hear. I know you think I do. But I don't, because I think I know what you're going to say. Not until the day after tomorrow. I don't want to talk about it until then.
Hannah.
Stop. I'm going to write out a note on my phone. I'm not going to show you what it says until after tomorrow. But when I do, you'll understand I am not stupid. Okay?
I never said you were stupid, I said, stung.
I know. I need you to listen. I want you to go in there with me and we are going to act like a couple horny teenagers and we're going to do things we will never unsee again. And then we can fight or whatever the day after.
This is my decision. Hannah searched my eyes.
Unless you don't want to.
I have always wanted you, I said.
She held my gaze for a moment, then leaned over and kissed me. We explored each other like that until the reality of trying to make out over the crossover's bulky center console made us pull back. She dug out her phone and typed out a message onto it. Then she put her phone away again, and we chased each other out into the graying day. I followed her into the messy home. Her roommates were gone.
Good, because we weren't about to hold back. I followed her through a living room that looked like it had been ransacked, given the way blankets were scattered everywhere, and no less than 6 coffee mugs had been abandoned to a grimy fate. I laughed, and Hannah asked,
What? Your house is dirtier than mine.
Shut up.
It's true,
I said and grabbed her to pin her up against the wall. She grinned and lunged forward to kiss me, hard. Although we just made out in the car and kissed in the park, it was that kiss I forever thought of as our first, because it was Hannah with her guard down for a moment. Maybe not the old Hannah. I don't think either of us would ever be the same people we were at the start of Brandon's illness, and that was sad, but it was okay. Because I got this Hannah, exposed and beautiful and vulnerable in a way I didn't know she could be. She roped a leg around mine and I reached down between us to slide my hand into the waistband of her sweatpants.
Nick!
She breathed against my lips as my fingers slid along the stretchy fabric of a thong, then down lower to the full, ripe lips of her sex. Her head bounced back against the wall as I explored her folds. She shivered and closed her eyes, her lips forming my name silently as I teased her and drew the wetness out of her like my fingers were a dowsing rod.
Beautiful! I whispered.
So fucking beautiful! Her smile went beatific until I slid my middle finger into her. Her eyes opened, and her smile became something far darker.
Now when did you become so good at that?
She asked breathily.
Oh, I've had practice. Like Kara?
Kara was a close friend of hers and my first. She taught me the basics and set a monster loose on the world. We probably would have made a good couple if she didn't have to go off to college, and we still occasionally hooked up when she was back in town.
Now what did she tell you?
Hannah kissed me and reached between us to slip her own hand into my jeans. Her eyes widened, and she said,
No lies, apparently.
She withdrew her hand and cupped my face. Her hips rocked with my exploring finger. I found her spot fairly quickly, her bucking hips a sure sign.
Keep doing that, MM God.
Damn, I loved her hot breath on my lips. I filled my other hand with her ass and squeezed, a long-held wish fulfilled. Her breath quickened and I fought to keep the pace she liked, wanting to finger her as fast as I wanted to fuck her. My whole body pulsed with need of her, my best friend's sister, my Hannah.it was her eyes that kept me grounded. There was something there, something searching in them that mirrored her mother's the night Deanna and I slept together. They looked for something in mine, and they held me captive as she rocked against me. She must have found something that pleased her because her hand came up to my chin, my hair, and tugged me in for one more kiss before she closed her eyes and writhed on my finger. She wrote it out, head twisting gently to one side. It was my turn to bring my hand to her chin. I twisted her head towards me but she caught my fingers before they withdrew. Watching me, she sucked 2 fingers down as she reached for my other hand. This she pulled from her sweatpants, then slowly, staring up at me the entire time, Hannah dropped to her knees. Her slim fingers undid the button to my jeans and tugged them down along with my underwear. That beautiful, sweet face against my cock was one of the hottest things I'd ever seen, and the reality was so much better than my fantasies when she sucked my tip into her mouth. I stroked her hair as she slowly bobbed her head back and forth, taking her time with me and lavishing my underside with her tongue. At the same time, she slowly brought her sweater up and over her big breasts. Her bra pushed them up proudly, as if presenting them for my inspection. I moaned in mock frustration when she popped off my cock.
Oh, you don't want to see my boobs then?
She asked.
Definitely do.
She tugged the sweater up and over her head. I took it from her and laid it out over the back of the nearest chair. When I returned to her, the only thing holding up her bra was her hands. She pulled them away, the bra coming free, and I was frozen in place. I might have had some experience, but Hannah's body was nothing short of incredible. Slim and trim in the waist, but flaring out from there and making me realize a blowjob was most definitely not what I wanted right then and there. I grabbed her under the arm and tugged her to her feet, pushing her back against the wall again as I filled my hand with one of her breasts and the other with her deliciously full ass.
Fuck, you are incredible.
I breathed, and crushed my lips to hers. When I pulled back, I said louder,
Your bedroom.
Now. She grinned and trotted away, giving me a great view of her ass in that thong. I watched for a moment, transfixed, then hurriedly dropped and grabbed my jeans up to find my wallet and a condom. When I joined her again, she was on the bed on her knees and elbows, feet kicking against her, but as she looked back over her shoulder at me, honey blonde hair spilling down to the bedspread. Her thong was gone, leaving her completely bare to me.
I think this is how you told Kara you fantasized most about me?
I groaned.
She told you?
Oh yes. Hannah blushed. While I was eating her. I was stunned into silence for a moment. I didn't know Hannah was bi.
Kara never said. She's not out yet either, so, yeah, I won't say a word.
Good.
Thank you.
She stretched backwards.
But right now, I think I'd like something, hard. There was probably a comeback to that, but my brain was most definitely not firing on all its cylinders. I came to the bed, unwrapping the condom. I climbed on the bed and rolled it on. She looked back at me.
If you don't mind getting tested, I'm on the pill.
We could, do it bare if you're clean.
Shit, I'll call the clinic the minute we're done.
She laughed, but it cut off quick when I stroked her bared pussy with my thumb. She had big, full lips like Diana, and her butt was bleached. I'd never seen that before on a woman and I liked it. Then it hit me. I mean, really hit me. I was about to have sex with Hannah Labini, the girl of my dreams. I might have dreamed about fucking her from behind like that, but for our first time, for this, I heard Deanna's words as though she were speaking right into my ear. She needs you.
I want to see your face the first time.
I said softly. Hannah looked at me again.
But if you really want it this way, of course I'll give it to you however you like it.
I smacked one cheek lightly.
And I'm definitely going to want to try that eventually.
But I care too much about you not to see your face this first time, if you want it that way too.
Nick. She whispered. Then slowly, she twisted onto her back and scooted up the bed to the pillows.
I came to her and leaned in to kiss her while I stroked myself to full hardness again. Her eyes watered as her lips gently met mine, and we spoke no words as I lined myself up and slowly eased into her. There was just the soft release of breath from two people on the verge of realizing how deep their feelings for each other really ran. I loved Deanna. I loved Hannah. I knew there were going to be complications there, and pain, and probably a lot of confusion and anger, but there was, at the core, love. Lust came second to that. We made love for a long time, and it was not the sort of thing that translates well to a page. Our hips swayed in an easy back and forth, our lips met, our hands roamed, but mostly we just moved together.
How long, I'm not sure.
Half an hour, an hour. Her phone rang and we ignored it. One of her roommates came home and laughed out in the living room about the mess of clothes we left behind. We ignored her too. There was only each other for a while, and it was, to this day, some of the best sex of my life. We could have stayed like that forever. I think we both would have, if we had any choice in the matter. But things end. Life. Relationships. Sex. Forever wasn't our reality. Our reality was having to leave that bed and deal with the real world, and Brandon's death, and her shitty father, and my lack of a job, and my impending prostration before the temple of my parents' house. But not right then. Right then, we had each other, and it was how both of us got through what was to come. Hannah took the first shower and touched up her makeup while I headed out to the living room wrapped in her fluffy robe. Her roommate, a happy-go-lucky bespectacled junior in college named Lizzie, looked up from her Kindle and grinned.
You look good in pink.
I folded my hands together and put them under my chin.
Good enough to be a model?
Oh yeah?
Good to see you, Lizzie.
You too.
So, you two finally hooked up?
Yeah. She grinned and poked a mismatched chair with her foot.
Sit.
Details.
Or I don't give you back your underwear.
She sat up and produced my briefs, and promptly sat on them again. I groaned and sat, but stole Lizzie's bowl of cheese balls as revenge. We talked some the walk in the park. Knowing how close I was to Brandon and the emotions that must be running high between Hannah and myself, she tried to keep things light and I really appreciated that. Of course, she asked the big question, if Hannah and I were a couple. It's too early to put a label on it, but you know she's been a friend forever. I love, love, love friends to lovers romances. Especially the pervy kind. Lizzie said, and clutched her Kindle close as she writhed on the chair. I laughed, and about then, the doorbell rang. Just as Lizzie tossed me my underwear, whoever it was opened the door up and called.
Baby. Dad's here.
Oh, fuck. Gordon. He walked right in, and gave me a smirk that I vaguely remembered from my childhood. Looks like a party's happening here. When I knew him, Gordon was still trying to pretend like he wasn't graying, but now embraced it in the other direction with what was clearly a dye job probably worth as much as my car. Gray and white ran in tousled curls on his head. His face was too smooth not to have seen some plastic surgery, and I could swear he had lip injections done, though I wasn't 100% certain on that. He might have been handsome without the smirk and lizard-like eyes, but with it and his gray suit, he looked every inch the asshole he was. Behind him was one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. Like Gordon, her hair was the first thing I noticed, dark blonde at the roots and fanning out in stylish waves to lighter shades. She had a strong-featured face with small, peach-kissed lips and eyes like a cloudy day. It was clear she was dressed to show off, in a tight pencil skirt, black blouse, and a matching blazer fringed in white. Curvy, but maybe not quite as curvy as Hannah or Deanna. I wasn't sure, but I wouldn't have minded finding out. The one thing I couldn't pin down was her age. She could have been in her 20s or 30s, and unlike Gordon, I didn't think her flawless features were due to surgery.
Hello again, Mr. Sellers.
I said. He frowned.
Do I know you?
You do.
Nick.
I was Brandon's best friend. His frown didn't break for a long moment, but then he brought his hand up, finger pointed at the ceiling before it settled in my direction. You're the kid who ate all the damn cookies in the pantry. He started chuckling and I fought the urge to throw a right at his stupid, smug face. And the marshmallow cereal. And drank the soda. And puked a line from the dining room all the way to the front door, right?
I guess I am.
I said, though I'd eaten four cookies, had one can of pop, and as it turned out, was suffering from a vicious stomach bug. Didn't have you pegged for the women's wear type. Gordon chuckled harder. The man never really laughed. It was more like a ha ha ha. The woman pushed around him and gave me a weary smile as she held out her hand.
I'm Rachel.
So sorry to hear about Brandon. I wish I could have known him. He sounds like a wonderful person.
I shook. Thanks.
Thanks. To Lizzie, who had watched all this with a cheese ball in hand and forgotten about, I said, I'm going to go get dressed.
Okay.
Lizzie chirped, stretching the word out.
Okay.
Hannah poked her head out of the bathroom.
Hey, Dad.
Out in a second. When I snuck in there with her, she muttered.
How bad is it?
Well, he already brought up the puke storm incident, so I'm ready to punch him. She winced. If you want to get out of here, I completely understand. I'm sure Lizzie could give you a ride back to Mom's. That'd probably make things easier for you, huh?
Sorry.
Don't be. I kissed her. If you need me, let me know. She wrapped her arms around me and held me tight for a long minute. I thought of Deanna, and I thought of that strange moment in the car when Hannah maybe hinted that she knew about the two of us hooking up. Or was she referring to something else? Regardless, she didn't want to talk about it for a couple days, so I said nothing about it, dressed, and took that ride from Lizzie, still feeling Gordon's cold eyes on me long after I left that place. I packed up what little shit mattered in the morning and threw it into the trunk and backseat of my car. I dressed as best as I could, in dark blue jeans two sizes too big for me now and a black short sleeve button down that billowed out and made me look like a ship from the 1600s when the wind blew. And the wind blew plenty that fucking freezing, miserable day. I had to talk to my parents before the funeral, or else I was going to be too emotional to think straight later. My car let out a particularly desperate gasp when I started it up. Just a while longer, I told myself. I can stay at home, pay off some bills, get a bus pass, things would be all right. It was going to suck having to go back home again, but it would be okay eventually. This was not the end of the world, as evidenced by their cars in the driveway. They were both home. My dad had the TV on so loud the walls thundered with it. An old Bruce Willis Western thing. He didn't like any movies with actors he didn't recognize, so nothing made after about 2000 made the cut. I had no doubt my mom was in my old bedroom, now her hobby room, and grimacing about the noise but unwilling to say anything to keep the peace. My mom and brothers always tried to keep things level. I was the little asshole who always had to piss dad off, and whoops, wouldn't you know it, here I went again. He was half dozing on the couch, sprawled out and watching the screen with half-lidded eyes. When he saw me, he gestured towards the back of the house, as if to say, "Your mom's that way." He was tall like me and both my brothers, and retirement brought on some extra weight to him. He wasn't quite fat yet, but veering in that direction. I couldn't really blame him on that account, though. For all my problems with my dad, he was a hell of a reliable guy and until he hit 60, he generally worked at least 20 hours of overtime a week delivering gas and propane to his company's customers. 45 years he did that. That's respectable, and there's not a bit of irony to me saying that. I shook my head at him and pointed at the TV. He paused the movie and pushed himself up a little straighter and called out.
Eve?
Nick's here.
Oh hey, honey.
Mom called from her hobby room. Bingo, called that. She emerged, a tall woman in her own right, given over to a general thickness a long time ago, but never carrying much more than that. She was a very youthful woman for her age with sparkling eyes and skin generally untouched by the sun she loved so much when she was out puttering in the garden.
Are you on your way to Brandon's funeral?
She gave me a one-armed hug, about as much affection as we showed each other in that family. PDA was not a term in my parents' vocabulary. I had thought maybe they would go to the funeral since Brandon came over a lot, but they never even mentioned it as a possibility. Then again, while they were always polite to Brandon, I couldn't remember a time they really ever acted close to him, so going to the funeral would have been a token gesture on their part anyways.
Soon,
I said.
I had a favor to ask you.
Oh boy, Dad said.
We knew this was coming.
Mom gave him a glance, the closest thing she would ever come to a hush from her.
What is it?
I took a deep breath.
I lost my job.
I heard you quit, Dad said.
Tried to hit a customer and walked out.
Who told you?
I didn't try to hit him,
I said.
I just heard the news about Brandon and the asshole.
I forced myself to keep my temper in check.
The guy was being a dick. I slapped some chips out of his hand and I quit. And now you need money?
A place to stay, I said. Stay calm. Stay calm. Stay calm. You knew he would want to score points on you. You deserve this. I have interviews next week at a few restaurants and fast food places. Good hours, good pay. I just need somewhere to stay.
What's wrong with your house?
Dad asked.
Roommates kick you out?
And there went my self-control.
Something like that,
I said wearily.
Or exactly like that.
Your friend Tim reached out to us. Said he was worried.
Said you owed some utilities.
And they'll get the money as soon as I can get another job, I said.
And live here, without having to worry about rent or food,
Dad said.
I could pay you rent, goddammit,
I snapped.
I never said I wouldn't.
Don't swear, let's not swear at each other, Mom said, right over the top of her. Dad said.
You apparently can't pay rent, or else you wouldn't be in this situation. You are the poster boy for your generation, you know that?
Can't hold a job, can't pay the rent, going to spend the rest of your life here where Mom and Dad can take care of it. Hot tears of shame burned my eyes with such intensity that I couldn't do anything but blink for a few long seconds. My mom started to say something about me being able to stay there, but I never heard her finish the sentence. I walked out.
Fuck it.
I'd go to a shelter until my friends were back and I could live with them.
I'd figure something out. My mom followed me out, trying to plead with me, but I left her at the curb. I used the last of my cash on gas and a tall cup of coffee. Whatever I needed until I got where I was going, I'd have to rely on the credit card for now. I vaguely wondered if I could pay first and last month's rent with it. Something to think about, I guess, but my mind wasn't capable of fixating on any one thing. I kept getting drawn back to Brandon, to the last good days with him in the hospital, playing an electronic memory game with him in the hopes that it would help him retain something just a little while longer. His speech was badly mangled by that point, but it was the last time I could remember where his intent was clear. On the room's TV, game shows blared. During one trivia game, he kept guessing even if he knew the words coming out of his mouth weren't what he meant to say. Then he turned to me and grinned, making fun of himself at the last and making me laugh too, even if the jerk made me feel guilty doing it. I missed him so goddamn much. Finally, it was time. I drove first to Deanna and Hannah's, but their place was crazy, so I found an empty parking spot a block on and texted Hannah I'd meet them at the funeral home. She apologized again for her dad, and when I asked how it was going with him, she sent me back a puking emoji. The funeral home and cemetery were all in the same complex. The funeral home was a big square building, fronted by tall darkened glass panes. The lobby was a tasteful light blue-gray, the auditorium where the service would be held much larger and slightly darker in color. I was way early, but there were already people milling around, mostly the funeral home director, the pastor, and staff. I introduced myself, but I was distracted by the casket up front and the man I'd come to say goodbye to, if that was ever possible. The casket was closed by Deanna's request, but I laid a hand on it and stayed there for long minutes, my mind still dizzy and unable to focus. When people started drifting in, I moved to the back until the flood of Brandon's family arrived. Hannah and Deanna were near the front of the pack with Gordon and Rachel. Gordon eyed me with another smirk and offered his hand. I shook and remained quiet as I hugged Deanna and Hannah in turn, but right away, the guy had to be an asshole. When I went to sit with them up front, Gordon said, "We're going to do family right up here, and friends in the next few rows, okay, bud?" He is family. Hannah spat. Deanna took her hand and squeezed. "Nick stays up here. It's what Brandon would want." Gordon immediately turned on the charm, his widening smile open-mouthed, like he might try to swallow one of the chairs. "Of course." More than once, I saw Deanna and Hannah glance in Rachel's direction. The blonde was again dressed to kill in a plunging black dress that was more suitable for a night out than a funeral. She shifted from time to time, clearly uncomfortable, and her own gaze often drifted towards Hannah and her mom. But she stayed silent, listening to family and friends come and talk and offer well wishes. More people flooded the funeral home, a lot of whom I knew. Brandon was well loved, and I saw at least 50 or so of our classmates that day, people I would have loved to talk to another time. And don't get me wrong, it was great to see them and I appreciated them being there. But the stories they shared, the sympathies, eventually they all rolled into one ball of me nodding and trying to smile while Deanna and Hannah did the same a few yards away. The actual service was a lot shorter than my wait for it. There were songs, and the pastor led us in prayers, and there was a brief talk about Brandon's life, about how he inspired the best in others and brought a singular light into this world. Hannah was right beside me, Deanna on the other side, and she held both our hands. I couldn't tell if she was shaking or I was. Stories were welcomed about Brandon, and right off the bat, Gordon stood up and delivered a long, rambling spiel about the tragedy of watching his son disappear right before his eyes and to never take any loved ones for granted. I swear I thought I saw sparks actually fly from Deanna's eyes at that one. He was not going to leave town without him missing a big chunk of his ass when she chewed it off. We had planned it that I would tell the last story. I had a whole thing written up, a really good, sweet story about Brandon's secret Santa crusade, something only he and I knew he did every year for needy friends in the community. But when it was my turn, I stared out at the crowd, and I just couldn't. I wanted to speak and maybe got out a few syllables, but that was it. Deanna and Hannah stood up to guide me back to my seat, and I spent the rest of the funeral staring at the casket, feeling like I let Brandon down, the echoes of my father's disappointment as loud as the movie had been at his home. Things ended with a song, but would continue for a little while longer graveside. We shuffled out there, Hannah holding onto my arm, her head sometimes drooping against my shoulder. I felt nothing but numb weariness. She was pulled away at the grave by the necessities of the funeral. She, Deanna, and Gordon stood by the head of the grave with the pastor as he spoke. Beside me, so softly I wasn't sure I heard her at first, Rachel said. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." I glanced in her direction. She was looking steadfastly forward, but said out of the corner of her mouth, "For this and him and everything. Thanks." I said, "We weren't long in that terrible cold." I didn't really hear the words or register that people were starting to walk away until Deanna came to me. She hugged me tight, her head pressed to my chest. Hannah joined us and we three clung together. Gordon, walking away, was already chatting up the pastor and telling him what a wonderful son Brandon was, wonderful, and what a fantastic service it had been. I muttered without thinking about it. "I've never wanted to punch someone as much as him in my life." Hannah cracked up, and Deanna muttered too. "Welcome to my world, kiddo." I walked with them down to the parking lot, hugged them each again, and headed for my own car. The flow of traffic out of there paused long enough to let the lobbies through. Before I got in, I took a few minutes to stare out in the direction of Brandon's grave, and whispered, "I'm sorry, brother. I know it's weird. Me and them." I sighed. "You'd hit me in the balls so hard for the last few days, I swear to God." The wind picked up again, and I shivered against it. In my car, I twisted the key in the ignition,
The car wheezed, tried to turn over, and died. I stared blankly forward, tried it again, and got nothing. Just a click. The perfect fucking cap to the day that I stopped thinking for a while. A long while. I was more or less pointed towards Brandon's grave, and I just stared in that direction, no thoughts, no emotions, nothing. I moved beyond what I could take, and I broke. The parking lot was empty now except two vehicles I thought might have belonged to staff. I got out, thought about knocking on the door to the funeral home for help, and instead I collapsed. I don't know if I technically fainted or what, but all the power went out of me all at once. I only had enough energy to sit against the door, the wind cutting my skin, the cold enough to kill me if I was unlucky or lucky enough that I closed my eyes. And I didn't open them again until someone sniffed. Deanna. I don't think I realized I was dozing. It was all sort of a jumble of self-misery and loathing. But there she was, still achingly beautiful despite the reddened eyes and the black morning dress and long charcoal coat. My car wouldn't start, I said. And you didn't call? My eyes lost focus until her hand settled on mine. Come on. I stood, my teeth not quite chattering but close. She led me to her SUV and guided me in, hand on my back. I held out my freezing hands to the heater while she got in on the other side. I didn't mean to pull you away from the coffee hour, I said. Or to make this about me. How bad is it, Nick? She asked, her voice hoarse. Please don't lie. How skinny you are, the job, the car. Tell me the truth, honey. So I did. I told her about the job, and Jimmy, and my parents. I told her about the money I owed my roommates, my credit card debt, my everything. I told her I was trying to stand on my own 2 feet, but it was time to admit I couldn't. When I finished, she took my hand and brought it to her wet cheek. Then, one by one, she kissed my fingers. Why didn't you think you could ask me for help? It was a question I hadn't allowed myself to think about, but I knew the answer regardless. Because you and Hannah might have been the last two people who believed in me. I disappointed everyone else in my life. I didn't want you to see me be a failure too. Oh. Oh, Nick, no. F for Brandon at the very least. She shook her head and clutched my hand tighter. I'm sorry. I whispered. Deanna couldn't speak for a long moment, but when she could, her voice was firm. Let's get your things. You're staying with me. I would say Hannah, but I don't think they can have another roommate. We stepped out, and she came around to my side to hug me. We held each other a long moment. I held her, but said cautiously. You should probably know, Hannah and I, we did sleep together. I figured. I caught her smiling a couple times yesterday texting you. She should have been on edge around Gordon and wasn't. Thank you. And if, when you two decide you're a couple, we won't do this anymore. She wrapped her hands around my head and pulled me in for a long, slow kiss. But when you do, you'll be hers. I love the both of you. I know. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But she is my number one. Of course. We loaded my things into the SUV. A quick trip back to Brandon's grave had us both emotional again, but this time it came with a zen look of determination on Deanna's face when we walked back. As she drove back to the coffee hour, she had me look up the number for a towing service, and had me call them. She got the whole thing figured out. By the end of this, whatever. This. Was, I was going to owe Deanna everything, but I already did. At the community center, the party for Brandon was still in full swing. Hannah saw us come in and worked her way through clusters of people vying for her attention to offer her well wishes. She came to us and hugged me, and as though I wasn't standing right there, she asked her mother. Is he okay? No, but he will be. He's going to be staying with me for a while. That brought on an odd look from Hannah. She smiled, but it was sad and broken. All she said was simply, good. The three of us hugged one more time. Then the two of them were pulled away by family and friends, leaving me standing there, hands in my frayed pockets, looking around the crowd. And there, in the middle of it all, Rachel, Gordon's girlfriend, watched me. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. The Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content.